The Real Estate Talk Podcast, Season 2.
Right?
With Robert Kyleman and Joshua Britt.
That's correct.
Featuring topics about real estate nobody is talking about.
I need your expertise on it.
The Real Estate Talk Podcast starts now.
Real Estate Talk Podcast, Season 2, Episode 14, right? That's where we're at now? Okay. We're going to start hitting in and getting into some conversations about Joe fucking Biden. This guy is attacking real estate and home ownership for all the home buyers and home sellers out there. He wants to deplete your real estate equity in your home. And buyers, especially those with the lower income.
Hey, buddy, hope you're doing good. Just want to say I love you. Took those suckers down
50 miles before you can own a home. Welcome back. Stay tuned as we talk about that podcast. I'm Rob Kyleman.
I'm Joshua Britt.
All right, real estate agents, co-hosts of the Real Estate Talk Podcast. And joining with us today is Jeremy Berrios.
What's going on?
There you go. He is a loan officer at Movement Mortgage. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome back to the podcast, Jeremy.
Man, yeah, appreciate welcome it. Back. Thank you. Thank you. Humbly appreciate the love and the invite.
We had to bring back somebody else explosive with us for this topic right here.
I'm explosive?
You're a straight shooter, and that's what we kind of need for this topic right here.
I know. Yeah. We need some real tea. Get it? Real tea? Anyway.
The intro was dope, by the way, too.
Thanks. Appreciate it. But last time we had Jeremy on, he unfortunately smoked a good friend of ours. Sorry, Phil, man, but you got to come back and redeem yourself.
Well, you know,
the invitation's always out there.
I did put out the invitation through Phil for Nexus CEO to come on and join us on this topic or any other topic, whether it's through him being here physically or if we got to use... was it Riverside?
No. It's now you're making me forget it. It's not Riverside.
Yeah, it's some streaming service.
I think it's Riverside.
I think it is Riverside too. But anyways, though, we did throw out the invitation. We hadn't heard back as of this morning, so we're moving on with it.
Like water under the bridge, but I'll tell you what's been in the news is Joe Biden and his administration of clowns. They have been trying to just hammer the real estate industry because right now it's like midnight. They're on the last year of the presidency, and they just realized, oh, shit, guys, we haven't done shit for the last 3 years. Let's try to force feed a bunch of bullshit down the pike to look like that we've done something all these years. And you know what we'll do? We'll attack real estate because housing is so expensive right now. And they just had a juicy NAR lawsuit versus Sitzer versus Burnett. So let's go ahead and take credit for that. And we'll spike the football. We'll activate our mafia known as the Department of Justice. And we'll try to get them, electrified and go after real estate as well. We'll use the realtors and loan officers as scapegoats because we don't want to blame it on ourselves because the fact that, inflation is the government's fault due to their stupid fucking spending, perhaps.
Printing money.
You can only print. Think about supply and demand. Money's the same way. If you have a dollar. And you just keep printing more and more of them, and they're not a result of goods and services. It increases inflation. You got too much money in the economy.
Yeah.
It's like you have Bitcoin, what is it now? $70,000?
Yeah, it's getting up there.
And fucking Dogecoin. Not Dogecoin. No. I'm not even gonna do that. Shiba Inu fucking coin of a fraction of a cent. Yeah. So when you have so many fucking Shiba Inu coins or so many Bitcoins, you can see the difference in value.
Yeah.
That's the best analogy I can give you on the fly. But that's what it is. You got too many Shiba Inu coins, it drives down the value to a fraction of a cent. You got too many dollars in the economy, it drives down the purchase price. So guess what? Your little $20 an hour minimum wage that you might be getting in California ain't shit. Yep. Because that would have came in handy like 10 years ago. Anyway, I digress because I'll keep fucking around and we won't get anywhere. So
I mean, it's also because it's just been a lackluster campaign season. I mean, you know, in 2020.
Penis softening is a better term for it.
2019 running up to 2020, I've seen so many ads between Biden and Trump. You're not even seeing anywhere near the same level of ferocity that there was back then. And it's just like, well, we just got to stay relevant. So let's just pick on some key things that are hot topic keywords like AI. Let's try to, you know, put some regulations on AI. And let's go after real estate agents because housing has been very important over the last 4 years on the heels of the pandemic and that. And, you know, so it's something that we can attack. And so it seems like they're just coming after real estate in the industry as a whole, you know. But we're, like you said, the scapegoats.
Well, no, it's not only that. It's dirty pool. So because the lawyers and the National Association of Realtors and all these real estate chimps were out there fighting it out in court. So now that they got that pretty much settled and the court case is done and stuff, it's like a football player running to the end zone. They get to the 5-yard line and then somebody stops and say, hold on, let me get the football. I'm going to go run in the end zone and spike it. And that's what Biden and his crew of clowns did when they talked about, oh,
lower
their commissions because it'll save home buyers $10,000. A fucking idiot. Okay, if a seller saves money off paying a buyer agent commission, that doesn't mean he's going to lower his price of his house by $10,000 on average.
No.
It just means he'll pocket it.
They will. They'll make $10,000 more.
Home sellers, based on my experience, are greedy, and home buyers are cheap.
Yes.
So in between is where you got to find the negotiation. Home sellers greedy, home buyers cheap. One doesn't want to pay for anything. Neither want to pay for shit.
Yep.
They just want as much money, save as much money, or make as much money. That's what it is.
Oh. And that's why they need real estate agents, so we can try to help
bridge that gap.
Get the two of them together.
Yeah.
Get closer to a common goal.
Not be emotional. Just find the logic. Find a middle ground that both agree on so that they can consummate
the transaction.
And make a deal, baby. Yep. There you go.
All right. Well, so, we've talked about the real estate lawsuit plenty of times. But the newest thing was, in the last podcast, we did talk about title insurance on how they're going to get rid of title insurance.
Yeah, Biden doesn't want title insurance for any government loans.
But now they're coming after the lenders. That's why we got Jeremy here. Yep. You know, they're coming after the lenders, alleging that, you know, they're charging a lot of money in discount points, and discount points is actually inflating the cost of buying a home for most home buyers.
Yeah.
Now I don't see it that way. I just want to tell you that now, Jeremy. But that's the narrative that they're putting out, that they're pumping it out. Not the narrative that they haven't done enough to make sure that housing that there's enough inventory. They didn't put that narrative out. They haven't said, hey, we've dropped the ball on building homes and making sure that there's a steady supply of homes and that they're ready available. But, Jeremy, what is a discount point? Tell us what that thing is.
Yeah, everybody that doesn't know what that is it mean you save money by a discount?
Not necessarily. That's not what that means at all. So simply put, in layman's terms, a discount point is extra money that you can pay to a lender to buy down your interest rate. Okay. Best way I can put it, and the best analogy that I got is, as you know, gas prices change every day, and so does the price of a gallon of milk, right? When you go to the grocery store or when you go to the gas station, right? If you go Monday to the gas station and the price is $3.49 and you go Wednesday and the gas is $3, you can't go back to the cashier at the gas station and say, give me my 49 cents per gallon difference back, right? You bought it and you locked in Monday at that, right? So if I tell people all the time, Josh, if you and I were going to go take a trip to Jamaica, okay, and I fly coach and And every day, the airline ticket changes, right? Based on supply and demand, fuel costs, all that stuff, right? But we're both going to Jamaica. I buy coach. But you pay extra, right, to fly first class. You paid more, but you got a better seat.
Yep.
A discount point is paying more money to a lender to buy the rate down to get a lower interest rate, thus lowering your monthly payment. So whatever the par rate is, let's just say the rate's 6.5, and that's not going to cost you anything, and your payment is $2,000. You can choose to pay a certain amount of points, and your lender's going to go over that. If you pay 1 point, which is equal to 1% of your loan amount, so $300,000 loan amount, 1%, if you do the math, is $3,000. On that day, based on what the price for that, you know, note rate coupon is, the rate could be a quarter point lower, 3/8 lower, could be a half a point lower, whatever the cost for that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, and the difference between the par rate and whatever, how much you're looking to spend to pay extra, whatever you're willing to spend extra to buy the rate down, that's what's going to cost you, right? If it, one day you check the ticket for a first class and it's $3,000, the next day it could be $2,500 or it could be more or less depending on what it is. Whatever you're willing to pay extra to fly first class is what you're going to pay. Whatever the market dictates, and the free capital market dictates what you pay to buy down your interest rate. You know, simply put, you're paying extra money to buy down the rate.
So the question everybody wants to know is should they buy down the interest rate?
And the answer to that should be you need to talk to your local mortgage professional who's competent enough to do the math for you. In my humble opinion, more often than not, you should not be paying for discount points because there is marginal savings. There's savings there. If you were to go to a financial planner and you're getting ready to retire, okay, they're going to ask you simple questions. What's your risk tolerance? What's your time to retirement? And what's your appetite for different levels of volatility, right?
Yep.
When you talk to your mortgage professional, how long do you plan to be on the home? How much extra disposable cash do you have to buy down the rate? What's your ultimate goal in home affordability, okay? I said it before in the previous podcast. The rules of math and the rules of money don't always align, okay? So if I'm quoting you, and any good lender, any good mortgage professional, so quote you what the par rate is, meaning that there's no cost to you as a buyer for this rate, saying this is what the rate is at no cost. Excuse me. And then they should be saying this is an option of paying a half a point or 1 point or more than 1 point. And doing the math on that, okay? So if my payment's $2,000 here, if I pay a point, it's going to cost me $3,000 on 1%. Now my payment's going to go to $2,000 or $1,980. So I'm saving $20. Mm-hmm. You know, the rate below that, I'm going to pay more money, but my payment's now $1,950. So now I'm going to save $50, right? Like,
yeah.
So there's going to be, oh, so my payment's only going to go between this principal and interest and this principal interest. The difference is going to be $50, $80, $90, whatever it is. But I got to pay $3,000, $3,500, $4,000 to go lower. The rules of math and the rules of money don't always align, right?
Yeah.
So, again, just like that financial planner, what's my timeline? How long are you going to be in this home? Big military town here. Are you thinking you're going to get PCS orders in a couple of years? Is this your retirement home? Are you guys going to be upsizing, downsizing? The general rule of thumb is if you can recoup your money within 36 months, probably a good idea. And if it's going to save you a substantial amount or amount to kind of get you within your budget, right? But if you can't recoup that within 36 months, it's generally not a good idea. Are there a ton of, and I'm keeping this neutral here, Switzerland?
Yeah.
You know, but again, we're probably going to talk about this later.
Yeah, I know. It's my next question. So go ahead. You might as well just go right on into it.
So then it's an individual loan officer, but if they're specifically because, you know, mortgage broker, you know, origination, a lot of the quote unquote independent mortgage brokers, right? You know, have all these discount points in there because what they're doing is clickbait. Oh, we have the lowest rate in town. You know, even though we know market rates are 6.5-7%, no, you're going to get a 5.99% rate. And literally, loan estimates are being cut showing $15,000, $20,000. Or if I don't have an option to send it somewhere else because a certain someone is telling us that we, you know, as a broker or whoever, have to, you know, send all our deals here, you know, not really giving us any options, then there really is no savings because now you're adding on top of the normal closing costs just to buy down the rate, which may not even make sense. And again, I want to be very clear. This isn't, you know, retail versus wholesale right now, because could there be certain other lenders who have more? You're going to see in this market what you're going to see, and I said it before, smaller companies or companies who have a lot of overhead and expenses consolidate, merge, get bought out, or just shut, get you know, just completely out of the business, because no one is going to do business with that mortgage company, whether it's a P&L model company, whether it's a Fannie Freddie direct lender company, whether it's a correspondent, and this is retail lenders.
Yep, yep.
There's no mortgage company that's going to survive in this economy now going forward if you're not competitive in rate and you're not if you're sending out LEs with $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 in discount points, you're just going to be out because no one's doing business with you, right? The cost of originations are going up. Overhead is going up. And everyone's right now is how do I, you know, defray my cost? How do I get my cost down per loan? And how do I become profitable? And if you're not a profit, people think profit's a bad word. It's not. It's a win-win for the client, win-win for the company, so on and so forth, okay? And I want to be very clear, too. There's certain transactions, such as second home and purchase or second homes and investment purchase transactions, okay? There is no getting around paying discount points on those purchase transactions, okay? You can minimize them because you can buy an investment property with 15% down because people think you have to have 20, but no, you can do it as 15. You can do it at 20 and 25. But each level, and depending on what your FICO score is, you're going to pay more points. But either way, in this market, absolutely, you're going to be paying 3 and 4 discount points, okay?
Now, you got to buy it that much to get that interest rate down.
That's just the cost of purchasing an investment property. It's the risk involved. Yep. And people, if you don't understand what the risk is in buying an investment property and or a second home, it's in the bank's eyes, they're saying, okay, you have a primary residence. If you get into a financial bind, okay, their mindset
lose
is
your job or something.
Lose your job. You get your wife or you fall ill. You know, the bread maker dies, right?
Yeah.
Cool. The bank's on the hook for that because that mortgage is not getting repaid. Yeah. So they're saying, okay, and if you get in trouble, the first house you're going to let go is the investment property. Yep. It's not your primary residence. What if the market is down and you don't have a renter that's renting out your property? They need to make sure that you qualify and you have, you know, money in the bank reserves to pay that mortgage payment on top of your, you know, current monthly payment, right? So that's why there's more risk involved with it. That's why they want to make sure you are really well qualified to buy an investment property and or a second home. And that's why it costs more. That's why you will pay a discount points because the bank wants to say, okay, if you can afford this in this market, then you can buy the house. And if you can't, there's just no way, right? And they're putting on that cost onto you. Okay, because those loan level pricing adjustments that Fannie and Freddie set on these loans for these rates, it just gets passed on to the consumer.
Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of the next thing that they basically say is that last year, 59% of all buyers ended up paying a discount point in order to purchase a home.
Mm-hmm.
And the discount points are inflating the cost that is necessary for buyers, the amount of money up front that they need to put down. So it's making purchasing a home a little bit out of reach for some people.
Yeah, and I think, again, paying discount points is not a bad thing. And it could make sense in the right scenario, whether it's a primary residence, a second home, or investment property. You just, out of that 59% of the people who paid it, that I would pray, and I know there's a certain percentage who was not educated on it.
Yeah.
You just have to be educated, talking to a mortgage professional who's breaking down the cost and the math to make sure that the discount points you're paying is fair, accurate, and there's a real reason behind why you're truly paying those discount points. And if it's not, that's when we really need to have a dialogue and discussion. Like, bro, like people are just wilding out here and they're just paying discount points because their margins are super high and, you know, they need to collect discount points from people.
I agree. But Joe Biden, he straight up said that his administration, his gang of clowns in that circus, is expanding its crackdown on junk fees. And they're talking about discount points being junk fees.
Well, you know, that's really funny that his administration is talking about that. And I feel like that's really, you know, ironic. And I really want to be Switzerland here once again, you know, when it comes to politics here.
I mean, you got called balls and strikes as you see it.
You do. Yeah. A zebra doesn't change his stripes, right? So when it comes to that is so funny that he says that because it was his administration in 2008. Wasn't he or he not the vice president to President Barack Obama?
He was.
Now, President Barack Obama, to his fairness, right, inherited a
crazy messed up economy from in 2007.
Bush. Yeah, definitely.
From the Bush administration, right? Yep. Because the mortgage industry and the real estate industry, everything that everybody was blaming the economy on, right, was not regulated.
Right.
And it wasn't. Discount points weren't regulated. Yield spread premium, where when loan officers were getting paid for giving clients higher rates. Absolutely, right? But no, what happened? Barack Obama came in office in 2008. He had to clean up the economy. He had
Glass-Steagall Act.
He had to put Dodd-Frank together, right? Yeah. And he created the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which was headed by Senator Elizabeth Warren. So what happened? Ooh. So they created what was called disparate treatment pricing test, okay? So this non-QM test, right, for discount points, okay? Even legally, recently as last year, because of inflation and so much stimulus being in the economy, right, the cost of interest rates and buying homes just went up, okay, because of policies that they enacted, okay? Mm-hmm. Let me just keep it at that. But legally, by law, each lender, I don't give a two hoots if you are retail or wholesale, that loan has to go through a disparate treatment discount point pricing test, okay? So what does that mean? So that means there has to be an analysis done on that loan. If I disclose a loan with four discount points, three discount points.
But who does the analysis?
An internal compliance team.
Okay.
Okay?
Is it like an independent body?
No, they have to work for the company because every company has to have a compliance department.
There you go.
Okay? Okay. So Every I don't care if you're wholesale or retail, you have to have a compliance department, you have to have a chief compliance officer, and you have to have a deal with a way to mitigate fraud, risk, all that stuff like that, right? But in this case, this is what they prevent, what's called predatory lending, okay? Mm-hmm. Predatory lending, which was instituted.
Like payday loans.
Yeah. What's that?
Like payday loans or
all that stuff,
cartel
right?
loans and all the other shit.
So part of the CFPB was like, okay, we're gonna crack down so you can't get paid on yield spread premium, even giving somebody a higher interest rate just for the fun of it, and the loan officers are getting paid on the higher interest rates, right? And banks, because banks make money on discount points. It is what it is. So what they instituted was that disparity pricing test, okay? So they said every loan that has points attached to it has to go through compliance testing. And they do a mathematical calculation stating, does the points that we're charging, and it's called it's a high qualified mortgage test, okay, high pricing test, okay? Does the points that we're charging on this loan and the loan amount of this loan and the purpose of this loan, does it fit within their government regulation standards, okay? Mm. So those 59% of loans that got charged discount points passed regulatory government standards test. So if they don't like it, the government can change it. So you can't get mad at the lenders who charge discount points when your tests allowed for it. So for example, in the beginning, especially the lower the loan amount on an investment property, like if they're trying to find like a $250,000 home and they put 20-25% down, the loan amount's going to be like $195, you know, to $170, right? If I were to try and charge 4, 5, 6 discount points on that, and I email my QM, my qualified mortgage testing department for my compliance team, they're going to come back and say, no, we can't do this test. They're going to show me the QM fail on the government standard requirements. It's a government program that they give us, and it's going to fail. So I have to go back to the client and say, even if they had the money, I legally cannot close it because our systems will read that. And it's a hard – you can't override that computer system.
All right, so let me simplify this. The loans, or if they're paying discount points, have to pass some sort of government
– regulatory test.
Scrutiny. Okay, correct. Regulatory test, right?
Yep.
And as a long shot, you would say if it's government-related, it's Joe Biden's administration that's approving this then.
Correct. It was started under him and Obama, you know. And
right, but, at, yeah. the totem pole stops at some point.
I think what he's saying is like, the rules were put into place back in 2008, right?
Right, but he's still following them.
And he's still following them. Everybody's still following them.
It's so funny that the people who set the rules have no idea how the rules work or function.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Because now his administration's calling it junk fees, even though they're approving it.
Yeah.
That's
you approve it, you approve of it, or you don't.
Yeah.
Why do you disapprove of it?
Even though they approved of it, I mean, and that's where he could probably tighten the disparity testing thing and saying, okay, we used to allow up to this, and he can, you know, do it. And that's why clients shop. Clients are getting smarter and they're shopping for their mortgages, right? Because every lender has different margins they have to meet. I don't give a crap if you're Dan Gilbert with Reckitt. I don't care if you're Matt Ishbia. I don't care if you're Casey Crawford. I don't care if you're whoever, right? Like,
you're Matt not, Ishbia.
You're not.
I love it.
You know, but let's be transparent. Every
cocksuckers.
I don't care if you open up a mortgage company or a candy store or an ice cream shop or real estate shop. You go into business to work for yourself, for entrepreneurship, and to make money. You're in it for a profit. But at some point, you have to be transparent and do the right thing, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I've always said before. If you don't, if I don't have the best deal for that client, and I'm being competed against, man, God bless you. Don't let the door hit you with the good Lord split you, man. Go take that better deal. But if out of those 59%, we can sum it up into how many of those were investment properties. Yeah. Did the clients really shop? Who were their lenders? You know what I mean? You know, like.
But I also remember there was a point in time last year where there just wasn't a par rate. Like, it didn't really matter. There was no par rate. You couldn't get a par rate. Nobody had a par rate.
Even now, you can't really get a par. If I were like a true par rate right now after today's debacle.
Oh, yeah.
Well, north of 7.5% rate.
I don't understand why the. I am sorry. I have to go back to the watering hole for a second because we were talking about the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau a little bit earlier, right?
Right.
In a quote, and we were talked about, hey, junk fees are discount points according to
their government, yeah, which they created, right?
Yep.
Well, here's a quote from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, according to Yahoo Finance, is costs for homeowners have driven up in companies in the mortgage industry can pad their profits with illegal junk fees. Says illegal, the agency said. That's the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Yeah.
And it's working to combat the proliferation of these said junk fees in consumer finance markets and to ensure that the mortgage companies don't tack on unlawful fees.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Those are other things. Those are other fees
than discount points,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And now I'm going to look like I'm attacking a certain channel, but.
Just call balls and strikes as you see it, man. You know, from an industry insider and expert.
There's a lot of independent mortgage brokers who own their own brokerage, who don't have a compliance department, who they follow all of the government guidelines, right? But the government hasn't said, I'm adding an administrative fee, I'm adding, you know, an origination fee, I'm adding a whatever fee. Most mortgage brokers, not the good ones, because there are some, and I want to be clear, there are really good mortgage brokers out there. Really good. I used to be a mortgage broker. There are really, really, really good mortgage brokers out there. There's really, really good retail lenders out there. There's really bad mortgage brokers. There's really bad retail lenders out there. But specifically when it comes to those other junk fees, you see that in the independent mortgage broker world who are not regular. Like, I can't just arbitrarily go in my computer system and add some crappy fee that I'm going to pocket. But brokers can do that. Independent mortgage brokers can add. They can add an application fee. They can add $500, $600 just for applying. Yeah. You know, they can increase their credit report fees to whatever they want to cover their overhead, right? Like, you know, bigger companies like myself, we have a credit vendors, that we pull credit from, and it's a standard rate, flat rate. Mortgage brokers who have to foot that bill every single month, they collect that up front, or they charge more to make a difference to the spread, or they might charge more for an appraisal than what, you know. I just that rescue line I was talking about the other day, like they legit charge that client more for the appraisal. They paid the lender, but pocketed the difference. You can do that in the mortgage broker's world because if you own it, there's no compliance officer like, hey, like, what are you doing? What are you disclosing? Like, what fee are you doing that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, brokers have the autonomy to get more fees. So if they're going to, I agree with those junk fees and them making, you know, excessive higher processing fees and higher, because for people who want to say, well, I don't have any underwriting fees, which again, we debunked that myth in the last podcast, but third party processing fees that brokers have, they play with those fees all the time. You know, so if they work with a third party processor, which they don't own or control, but they still have to pay that third party processing fee, say $695. Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to disclose $995. Why? Because they want to pocket $300 and they'll give the $695 over to the actual processing company, right? Like, it's, you know, so send me an invoice for this. Because, again, you legally cannot charge somebody for services not rendered and for things you don't have invoices for. But who says I can't play with an invoice?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
So here's my question, right? I understand being in the industry, there was a period of time last year where you just couldn't get a par rate, right? Mm-hmm. But
is par this, means without paying discount points or anything. It's just
thanks
straight just up.
Straight up.
Yep. Sorry, just in case anybody's
it's cool.
Initiated.
So my question is it, you know, is it a loan officer, maybe a questionable officer, is it their go-to to just immediately come off the top? Like, yeah, I can get you a 5.99. Like, you know, there no one could beat us on our interest rates. We got to get you 5.99. You can shop it around. We'll get you anything better. And what they're looking to do is create that competition to have somebody else give them a lower rate, but so that way that they could jack up the discount points to get that lower rate and say, yeah, I can give you a 5.5% also. Here you go.
Yo, I'm sorry. I have to interject just for a second. Where do these fucking discount points go to? Because I know when you guys sell the loans, or if you do sell loans, you get so many bips, basis points of the loan as profit for the company.
The loan officer or the loan,
or loan officer company. Or the company itself.
Right, right, right. Yeah. It's in the margins of the loan, right?
You're right. It's the margins you factor in when you deal with however you deal with the loan.
Mm-hmm.
But where does these discount points go to?
To the company.
It goes to the mortgage company because here's the truth that no one wants to talk about. It costs a mortgage company money to lock a loan. It costs a mortgage. Anytime I do a 15, a 20, a 25, a 30, a 45, a 60, and the longer the lock, the more expensive it's going to be, okay?
Yep.
So what we're doing is we're now, again, I don't want to get too deep, but now we're hedging, okay? So now we're saying, okay, you're locked in. So regardless of what the market does, and when the market shifts and these clients are locked in, right, and whether they're closed or not closed, again, because these mortgages are sold in the secondary market because it's a mortgage-backed security,
yep.
Okay? And if I locked and I hedged and I created, you know, a pool of, you know, 100,000 C30s, conventional 30-year mortgages, and, you know, one hasn't closed or I haven't delivered them and the market pricing's changed – well, guess who has to eat that difference? The company does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the company's going to bleed money on a lock if pricing gets worse, like it did today, right?
Yeah, I'm sure you got that lock alert a few times.
We got hella lock alerts, right? to lock in at that price, because when the market starts falling off, the mortgage companies are eating that. And that's why we're hedging that off. And that's why the cost for rates are what they are. And the borrower just has to pay for that lock because it costs the mortgage company money to hedge, right? Especially if the loan doesn't close.
All right, let me catch everybody up. And of course, you guys are subject matter experts as well, so go ahead and check me on this while I try to clue everybody else. So for those that are uninitiated, those that are not loan officers, real estate agents, all that other shit out there that aren't intimately involved in the real estate industry. So what a mortgage lock is, let's say you are buying a house, and before you even bought the house, you got pre-qualified for a mortgage, okay? And it said estimated interest rate's going to be X. That's the variable, okay? So when you get the house under contract, you get at some point your loan officer is going to lock the rate. That's going to be because interest rates go up and down based on the stock market. Am I correct?
Bond market.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Follow the 10-year treasury.
Okay. So it can change day by day. So whenever you lock that rate, that's your interest rate basically at that point when you lock it. So if it goes beyond a certain point, you might have to actually spend more money to extend that, say if it goes beyond like what, a 30-day close or a 45-day close?
Whatever the hedge, whatever we're hedging, a 30, 45, 60-day, they lock. Yeah. Right? And that's why it costs money to extend the lock.
Yep.
Because we got to pay for that hedge because we didn't deliver in that pool when we said we were going
to
deliver.
You didn't deliver in the time frame in which you were supposed to.
That we were doing. Yep. So that's what kills me, and this is a sidebar, when buyers or sellers or listing agents, buyer's agents think that mortgage loan officers or lenders don't want to close as quickly as possible. It's like, hello, for various factors, we're trying to close much quicker than everybody else in the transaction. Okay.
You actually have a deadline.
We have a deadline, especially when we lock that loan. Yep. Okay. Commissions are paid same day or next day to real estate agents. We don't get paid until 30, 45 days after. So we're always constantly having a pipeline. So if it changes one day, closing date changes one day for you guys, no big deal. right? Closing date changes for us between the 15th or the 16th or the, you know, the 30th and then the 1st. It's a whole another 30 days before we get paid.
Yeah.
So we're trying to close quicker than you guys.
Man, you guys, I keep looking at the loan officer industry and I keep thinking like, man, I could fuck that up, bro. Selling money?
That's what a mentor told me. If I can't sell money, I shouldn't be in the business.
Dude, how hard is it to sell money? No, I'm just kidding, bro.
Well, you'd be surprised when people send business to somewhere that they can't do loans and they fumble them and they got good
loans. Oh, listen, dude. I just said there's just two.
I tried to help him out. I had to be fair with all you
mortgage officers that I know, man. I'm just trying to send you a deal. I'll send you a deal.
I'm still here. We can
circle jerk and play rusty trombones.
And I came back for round
two. You know?
Yeah. So
you know what a rusty trombone is?
Off air.
Okay.
So. Anyways, I think the biggest problem here, though, is when it comes to discount points, there's just not enough education out there.
It's a loan officer's responsibility.
Yeah, but there's just not enough education out there publicly for buyers.
Hence why I had to clip people in.
Let me show you. This is why I pulled up. Okay, I had a client send me this photo. I want you to take a good look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What is
it? She reached out to me because one of these
interest rate reduction notice.
So it's a VA IRL, so which stands for VA interest rate reduction loan. Okay. An online internet lender because...
And what is that a picture of?
So
that's... It's a VA mailer bait.
So like clickbait, the mailer bait, right? So
it's going to get anybody looking like 4.875.
So she's like, hey, I want to do this. I want to execute on this now. And I told her, well, rates aren't 4.875. Like, it's just... Everyone here...
I wish they were 4.875.
This market would be completely different if rates were 4.875.
Yeah, I'll give my left nut for some 4.875.
But that's the crap that, you know, probably the Biden administration is trying to eliminate on. Because that 4.875, when that person actually calls up for that 4.875... would cost you like $30,000
in discount points.
Who got 30 grand to buy down the rate on that?
Now, most people know.
And no one's going to do that. Like, that's retarded.
It wouldn't make sense in math, long term.
And you know what's so crazy that lender sent that to them? Because when you do a VA interest rate reduction loan specifically, you have to do a 36 month recoupment test, which includes all the closing costs and discount points.
Yeah.
So, nowhere in the history
but
of that
here's
test,
the thing, though.
That would not pass.
But they know that it's
but
not
they know
pass.
That, and then they're like, oh, well, it's not going to be 4.875, but we'll give you this rate anyway. Yes, and it's going to be less points, but you're still paying points.
But usually that's in the fine print. After you pay like 30,000 in points.
They know it's no bait, just what you said it is.
Right.
It's going to get you picking up the phone. You're going to call. They know it's an unrealistic fee that you're going to have to pay to get it. It's not going to pass any tests, but it's going to get you on the phone.
That's print up, but it is going to get
you on
the phone.
It's going to get you on the phone, and once they get you on the phone, then it's up to you to sell money.
And that's the stuff that he cracked down on, because that's BS, right?
Yeah.
And that's what's so important for your mortgage loan officer out here, to have a relationship and rapport with your clients and to deliver exceptional service, because this client, she got that letter. The first thing she did was reach out to me, because before being a loan officer, you have to be a trusted mortgage advisor. Right.
Yeah.
And I tell all my clients, like, if I didn't deliver great service to her, and I always make sure I have over 200 verified 5-star reviews, like I tell them all the time, please look, my business is predicated upon giving you 5-star service. So at any point in time, I'm not giving you 5-star service, please let me know. Right. We live in a society, we don't even give our Uber driver 5 stars, right? Because I do want that referral from you, you know, buying, selling, investing, you got a family member, friends, whoever, coworker. I want them to think of me. And she did think of me, and I broke down the math to her, and I showed her, hey, this is not real, right? And that's the portion of education. Like, it's all about education and information, right? Like, some loan officers get so short-sighted, they're at a place where they got to sell what they got. They're selling money, but they're selling what they got, and what they got is... it's just trash and it's BS, right? Or that's some call center loan officer selling out mailers, whatever like that. They got a small little salary, they're going to get a little bit of commission on it. They don't care. They're like hook, bait, and switch, man. It's crazy. They're terrible. Like car sales.
Bait and switch. Yeah, you know, it's a breath of fresh air to hear, you know, somebody like you who is a stand-up loan officer, because, you know, right now it's like...
For sure.
Yeah, he's a stand-up loan officer. and he's going to shoot you straight. But, you know, in an industry where sometimes it could be the Wild West,
it is.
You know, a good friend of mine sent me an article recently in which, you know, it had a story that broke and where these words, I'm going to read it word for word right out of the article. It says,
"Hey, buddy, hope you're doing good. Just want to say I love you. We fucking took those cocksuckers down. Fuck them. And we're going to keep fucking sticking it to them forever. Fuck those guys. We're number one. We kick the shit out of them. Brokers are number one. UWM's number one. You're number one. We're all number one together. And fuck them. I fucking hate them with all my heart. And we're going to keep kicking their ass every fucking day. That's why I was here fucking at 4 a.m. again today. I don't give a fuck. We're going to keep kicking their ass. And so, love you, man. We talked about it. We waited for the weights to go up. I'm going to win. You're going to win. Both are happening right now. Keep hiring. Keep building. Keep growing."
That was Matt Ishbia, the chief executive officer of United Wholesale Mortgage, one of the largest mortgage lenders in the United States. And
he's a Phoenix Suns owner, right?
Yes. And he went furthermore on to say, "I fucking hate them with all my heart, and we're going to keep kicking their fucking ass every day." That's word for word. And, you know, that is like the Wild West when you have that type of leadership that is spewing that message out to the people. And this is the largest mortgage company. You can only imagine what the hell goes on inside that company, right? So it's like, you know, on one hand, I can understand why there's the scrutiny that's being placed, because you do have situations where you have somebody who, you know, kind of abuses power and thinks they're above the law and they're just going to go rogue on everybody. But on the other hand, you have legitimate people who are doing the right thing and educating their buyers and consumers and telling them what's affordable, what's not affordable, what's the best use of their money.
But like Matt Ishbia, you know, the Suns owner, United Wholesale Mortgage owner. But look at this guy. I mean, faux hawk, butt chin. I mean, he's got it all going on. So when he talks about cocksuckers in the real estate industry, matter of fact, according to the Phoenix New Times, the Suns owner Matt Ishbia accused of anti-gay slur in the voicemail tirade because he said, "We fucking took those cocksuckers down. Fuck them. And we're going to keep fucking sticking it to them forever."
Did it say who he was talking to? Was it like just other wholesale lenders probably?
I don't know.
I know he has a beef with Rocket.
But listen, ladies and gentlemen. Listen.
I got you.
Matt Ishbia, I don't think, was being anti-gay there. He's just saying cocksuckers. And we all have to realize that cocksuckers aren't just gay males. Cocksuckers can be females too. Ladies, am I right? You out there suck a good cock. And if you do that, that's okay. And be proud of it, because a lot of men really appreciate that. So anyway, I digress.
Yeah.
As we continue.
But let's get back on topic here, right? So yes, in his speech, it really was directed towards the brokers. It was directed towards specifically Rocket Mortgage.
And I
believe Fairway as well. And
not the golf course, but the mortgage company. Yeah,
Fairway had to shut down their wholesale channel because of that contract that he made.
Yeah.
So explain this contract.
I'm about to get into it right here. So what he did was, it's monopolistic behavior. And what he's doing is he's saying, "Hey, if you want to work with UWM, you can't work with anybody else."
Well, in this case,
and specifically Fairway and Rocket Mortgage, his two biggest competitors. So that's why it's kind of like monopolistic behavior, which lends the question to, are they violating guidelines that were put in place in 2008 upon the collapse? Mm-hmm. Right. It's questionable, but I think there's a lawsuit on
class action lawsuit to determine if he's interfering with free capital market enterprise. And then what he's dealing with is steering. Okay. Because you're supposed to be able to freely shop, especially when you talk about independent mortgage brokers who sat here and said, "I have options," when clearly you don't, when you're being forced to only shop between, when you're comparing UWM to Rocket or Fairway, that's a fair comparison.
Yes.
If you're comparing UWM to Homepoint.
New Res.
Homepoint's no longer in business. Caliber got bought out by New Res. Like, when you're comparing UWM to Freedom, we're not even in the same ballpark.
Yeah, no.
We're not even the same
hundreds ballpark. Of millions of dollars difference.
We're talking huge
hundreds of
right?
billions
now,
of dollars.
Shout out to Fairway, because they have great government rates, by the way. Shout out to you guys, Fairway, taking care of the veterans. But what I'm saying is, but we're talking about the reason why brokers love UWM is because of speed and service, but they are incentivizing. And then if you're supposed to be an independent mortgage broker, but yet you own or partially own, you know, ownership in other brokerages, or better yet, when he did the Super Bowl ad about the, you know, find a, you know, they did the whole thing on the last year's Super Bowl, not this year, but the last year's one, when there was like, go to mortgage, find a better mortgagebroker.com to find a mortgage broker near you. Only if you sign the agreement, and he steered the top producing brokers on that list. And if you weren't a top producing broker, or you didn't sign that agreement, you couldn't do business with UWM. So they cut out all those people, right? And then, and see, some brokers were smart, because what they ended up doing was created two different companies, ABC LLC Mortgage Company, and then XYZ LLC Mortgage Company. ABC Mortgage Company signed the agreement with UWM. XYZ Company didn't sign it with UWM. Yep. So when they had their clients, they sent them over to, you know, Rocket and Fairway if they wanted to go over there.
Yeah, but that he got wind of that. Like, of course he had to get wind of it. Of and course. I'm sure once he of got course. Wind of it, like, the type of language that this guy uses lets you know right off the bat he's aggressive. He's trying to be a savage. He's trying to take over.
Yeah,
over
the market.
Yeah, taking the words out of my mouth.
You know, it's greed, number one.
Yes, 100%.
It's just greed. And I think, listen.
You might see it on CNN, CNBC.
I don't want to turn it into a bashing, because, man, listen.
I thought he was fucking for a while, when I was a broker,
because of their speed and because of the service, I'm a huge UWM fan. But now at this point, to a detriment to consumers, I'm an independent mortgage broker and I can't shop you against Rocket, I can't shop you against Freedom or Fairway. Like, I can't.
You control
the
market.
So it starts with just two lenders, and then you just keep expanding that agreement. So at that point, if I'm an independent mortgage broker, I just work it for UWM.
Yeah, anybody who becomes a threat gets put on the list.
Gets put on the
list. It's like, you know, the terrorism list.
Right.
You make wrong. That like,
so it's not for you. And if you, and then that class session lawsuit, they look it up. Because UWM increases their interest rates with an increase of volume, and then their closing costs increase in that class action lawsuit.
Yeah, they end up paying more.
They ended up paying twice as much in closing costs to the consumer. That's detrimental. So for that to be, that's somebody I just can't be in business.
So for those who don't know the fuck United Wholesale Mortgage is this just, can you explain what that is? Is this like this big conglomerate of?
It's the number one wholesale company in the country. They just took over the number one position. They were, for a long time, they were turning to Rocket.
Yeah, Rocket.
Because Rocket just has a huge marketing campaign, and they're everywhere. They were in State Farm. That partnership got, you know, closed down. But, you know, the Quicken Loans Arena, LeBron James, the face of whatever, right? They were huge in the refi market. But then what, you know, lenders started quickly saying was, oh, man, We got to start going out to new purchase business. We can't sustain our refi business where, you know, we've been around for a long time. We grew so quickly because we were always purchase centric.
Mortgage.
Thank you. We, you we're know,
for a sponsor.
30 plug.
Shameless plug. Yeah. You know, we were always realtor centric and purchase centric, right? We always do refinances. We would love to do refinances, but we always prioritized, you know, realtor business. And we always, if you ask Toby Harris, yep. He's going to tell you we work for the real estate agent.
Yeah, Toby because, Harris is great. I wish he would sponsor us.
Shameless plug. Show Toby if you're hearing this. What's up?
I was saying it to him. Go ahead. Always.
You know, but he's always said that, right? You know, and not in a way where, you know, we're not necessarily a slave or whatever, but, you know, because the consumers have options, but we created 671. We created a process. We created a platform where we can close quickly, efficiently, you know, and that just benefits everybody, you know, involved, right? Mm-hmm. And you just have to appreciate that, you know. And again, there's a lot of other good retail companies, a lot of good wholesale companies out there, you know, but no one's cornering the market, right? So that, you know, Matt is just, he's just cornering the market.
Yeah, he's trying to.
I mean, on one hand, you got to, like, you know, clap for that dude.
No, you can't. You can't plan. Clap for him. You can't.
Right.
You
but
can't
on the other hand, like, it's shameless. It's shameless. No, it's shameless, right?
It's yeah. a bad business model, and you're going to quickly see it dismantled. And, you know, I know there's lawsuits going on right now yeah. against the real estate, the National Association of Realtors, mm-hmm. but somebody needs to look into what's going on over here because...
Well, that's not, why I have that class action. Like, yeah, but looking into it.
That's just one part of it, right? Right. That's one thing, right? Right? But a lot of these other independent brokers, they all claim they got the best rates, but yet they send all their business to UWM and don't go to their biggest competitor.
Right.
So you cannot say you got the best rates
if you're not going against Rocket.
You're not going against the next biggest competitor.
Shout out to Rocket.
Yo. I know I got one 5.99. Like, they beat out, like, a bunch of other people in order to get their stuff.
And could we talk about the wholesale channel? The wholesale channel really is a wild west, but when you talk about the wholesale channel, like, when you talk about customer service and technology, there's only two people doing service and technology. And loan officers want ease. They want guarantees for their clients and guarantees for their referral partners. If I fumble a loan, because in the wholesale, you really don't have that, you know, control over it, right? So you need to make sure the people that you're messing with, you know, got good processes and systems in place, right? Oh, Rocket got their shit together when it comes to technology and pricing, just like UWM has. Yeah. But Rocket's not telling you who you can do business with and who you can't yeah. do business with.
Right.
So that's to hold to your whole point.
Yeah.
If you want to be the best, you got to rightfully on a fair level beat yeah. the best.
So look, like, I mean, how can these mortgage brokers claim that they have the best rates when they don't even have the next biggest competitor? You know, they're not going against them. Like, how can they claim they got the best rates?
Hey, you can't, because to beat the best, you got to beat the best, right? Like, if yeah. you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. Like, it's just, you can't say, oh, we have the best rates, which we've seen by the lawsuit, they have higher closing costs and higher rates and stuff like that. Yep. They wouldn't have a class action on them. So that's one thing.
And who is this again?
UWM? United Wholesale Mortgage, correct. So, again, man, like, you know, once upon a time, being a broker, like, I'm a huge fan, speed and service, man. But if you just, but that was when they were playing on a fair playing field, right? You come up with this new policy where it's either, you know, us or bust. Like,
yeah.
Like, bro, like, that's not free open market. It's not a capitalistic market. Like, I should be able to, you know, pick and choose who I want to go to. So, no, yep. like, you're essentially, that's a back way of saying I'm scared of my competition.
Yes, 100%. That's what cowards do. Cowards, and I'll say it, that's what cowards do. Cowards try to say, hey, look, you can't go to my competitor because I don't want you to know that I'm not as good as them. I'm not for Rocket either. I'm not, you know, I'm not a Rocket fan. I'm not a UWM fan.
But
tough, though. What I am a fan of is people being straight up with people.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, honesty.
So, yeah, 100%.
Honesty, transparency. And I think that rivalry is just heightened because they're both Detroit based, right?
Yep.
You know, Dan Gilbert owns, you know,
Detroit based. They're both Detroit based.
They're both yeah. Detroit based. Yep. Bro, they're down the street.
They call from Detroit,
bro. So Dan Gilbert owns the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? Yep. And then all of a sudden, Matt Ishbia, you know, owns the Phoenix
Suns.
Sounds
like he's kind of like a fanboy.
So you know what's so
like
funny?
Measuring contest.
You know, yeah. So it was so funny. Is that, yo, Dan Gilbert pissed off Matt Ishbia so bad. So Matt Ishbia is...
Who's Dan Gilbert, by the way?
Dan Gilbert, he's the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers and of Rocket Mortgage.
Okay.
So what's so funny was that...
They don't like each other then.
No, they're rivals. They're competitors. Yo.
So everybody... So when Matt Ishbia went to go buy the Phoenix Suns, he had to get approval of all the NBA owners. He got all the approval.
Dan Gilbert
was like, no.
He's like, hell like, no. Yo, it's like, going to be 99-1 up in here.
Be 99-1.
That dude said no.
Hell no. Yo,
we don't need him in here.
That's some GP stuff, bro. Like, all rip.
Yep.
So... It's so crazy. So, yeah, obviously Dan Gilbert voted
they
no.
They got to sit them on the opposite ends of the ownership meeting.
Bro, yo, but Dan Gilbert, cold-blooded. You know, Matt Ishbia, he's a Michigan Spartan alumni.
Okay. Mm.
Yo, you know what this dude Dan Gilbert did? He's the official sponsor of Matt Ishbia's alumni.
Wow.
The whole gym has been renamed and rebranded to like Rocket Arena, Dan Gilbert signs everywhere.
Oh, you know that. Yeah.
Now that's being a savage, and that's being a savage. That's being a savage like the right way. Yeah. Like trying to eliminate
that's
your competitor.
That's probably why he was so mad. That's probably why he was so mad.
Because you know, Matt Ishbia went to that school. You know, he played under
these fucking cocksuckers. Yeah,
that explains the message right there.
Yeah. So there's no love lost.
Let me ask you this right here, right? So like, do the little guys know? Like, and when I say the little guys, I'm talking about the little independent mortgage brokers. Like, listen, I'm in real estate, you're in mortgages, and I know that there's a lot of people who are that have the same title as me, but don't have the same level of knowledge. Mm-hmm. If you feel what I'm saying, right?
Right.
So yeah, like, we're nerds in real estate, dude.
Yeah. Do you think that there are just some of these independent mortgage companies out here that just don't independent brokerage companies out here that just don't really know like where this rivalry stems from? They don't even know that the Michigan Spartan alumni thing. They don't even know that. Do you think that they're that naive and that ignorant to say like, yeah, we'll sign this agreement because we want to work with UWM, but you know we really don't know the rival.
No, they know.
They know. They know. Is that public?
It is. They know. I don't care how small you are, you know, because
those
are two
sides.
You're picking sides. And it's been a whole thing. So that other party's name that was thrown in that lawsuit, he ran what was supposed
to... Who was that?
Anthony Casa.
Oh, okay, yep.
So he ran what was called AIM Fuse, right? The Association of Independent Mortgage, you know, Experts, right? Yep.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And he had to step down from that for similar reasons that, you know... You can Google that and find out why he's no longer that. But
sorry, I'm finding something very hilarious. Go ahead, guys.
So
I'll talk about it later.
It so you may not even throw me off, but it's to answer your question in short, man. The small people they know, right? And him and Casa, you know, they're together. Yeah. They're married in bed.
Is that the C level, the C suite level, or is that all the way down? Like, I mean, like the lowest loan officers that are working at an independent brokerage, do they know the rival?
Everybody knows who Jesus is, don't they?
I get it. So like, the next thing becomes is it a conflict of interest? Is it a conflict of interest for the loan officers to say that they're getting their client the best interest rate possible, fully well knowing that they are unable to offer what the next largest competitor has to offer?
Yeah. I mean, think about it. They're being incentivized to send all their business or the majority of their business to the UWM. There is no optionality, right? If you start pulling, if you go to MMI, If I'm trying to recruit,
what's MMI?
So that's a tool that kind of how realtors have rankings and stuff like that, and
broker
see how
matrix.
Many. So they have like a broker matrix, right?
Sure.
And you can pull up and say this is how many transactions you did, this is how much volume did, this is how many listings you had, this is how many buy sides you had, right?
Okay.
Loan so officers have a matrix.
Your LinkedIn for
so there's a loan. Let's just call it a loan officer matrix.
Yep. Okay.
There's a loan officer matrix, right? That you can pull all of the loan officers' numbers. How many buy-side transactions that they did, the realtors that they worked with, how long that relationship with, and where they sent their loans to.
Yep.
Okay? It's all public record, right? You do a CD, and it gets filed in the court, right? Like, it is what it is, right?
Yep.
So
it's basically their resume.
It's exactly what it is. Yeah. It's their resume, right? Like, you're a real estate agent. You're going to interview somebody to come to your company. You're going to pull their numbers, right?
Yep.
It's all public record.
Oh, yeah.
I can't lie about my numbers. It's public record. Anybody can pull that, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're an independent mortgage broker, right, and is it a conflict of interest? If there wasn't a conflict of interest, would there be your lawsuit?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and it is a conflict of interest because they're getting high in closing costs, higher fees, right? They're being incentivized to cut out. They're saying to do business with all the perks that we have at UWM, you got to get rid of Fairway. You got to get rid of, Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
Fairway already closed down their wholesale channel. Blue Point and Home Point went under. Not Blue Point, excuse me. Home Point went under already. They no longer exist, right? Caliber had to merge, and New Rest took them over, right? So the wholesale channel is consolidating, especially in a market of contraction with higher interest rates, right? So only the strong survive. So at this point, if I'm a mortgage broker and I have all these options, but everything's getting consolidated, and you got to send it to the best, and it's only going to be UWM or Rocket,
you're going to have your little one-off little, yeah. you know, places. You know, you're going to have your Penny Mac, you're going to have your boutique, you're going to have whatever. But they're not getting the majority of the business. That's why quarter in and quarter out, it's either Matt Ishbia or Dan Gilbert pumping their chest.
Yep.
You know, at the end of the day. So,
and if you're a broker, you can't say you got the best rates unless you're offering both.
Unless you're, and but you can't.
Yeah.
Legal, like,
you can't because Matt Ishbia has decided to take that option away.
So you can't.
Well, the thing about Matt Ishbia, you know, Mr. Side Zeigler Jr., a co-founder of Outsports, a media outlet focusing on LGBTQ personalities and issues in sports, expressed outrage and disbelief over Ishbia's purported comment of cocksuckers. Zeigler also noted that he was skeptical about the voicemail, which in he said cocksuckers. It seems impossible that in 2024 the NBA owner would say this, Zeigler told New Times. I question the validity, and if he said this, he is disqualified from being an owner of an NBA team. And there's no defense for using that term. Zero. Anybody who uses that term knows that they're what they are saying. What are your comments?
Who was the former Clippers owner? Remember what happened to him? Listen, John Sterling, something Sterling. It was
Remind
Sterling.
Me. I don't.
Well, he had some very interesting comments to say about black athletes.
Okay.
That got him the ticket that the ex-CEO of Microsoft ended up buying the Clippers for umpteen billion dollars, right? Uh-huh. If this guy, Mr. Ziegler, really wanted to push the issue amongst the NBA and the commissioner, right, Adam Silver, which Adam Silver don't play with nobody. He's already came in and ruled with an iron fist, right? Like, he banned Sterling for life from the NBA for disparaging comments against black people, right? Mm. And so now,
why would you have disparaging comments in the NBA against black people when fucking 90% of the NBA is fucking black people?
Man, a zebra doesn't change his stripes.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Read the fucking room. The Texas goddamn it. Owner also.
Listen.
He said some crazy shit too.
Read the fucking room. Listen. Who are your fucking people
Listen. Once again, a zebra doesn't change his stripes, and especially from that generation. When you're an owner, you make billions.
Yep.
These athletes makes millions, and they're hoping to make off the court money with endorsements and stuff like that, right? But they're when you have that mindset, they are employees and property to you. You don't give a damn because you make billions. Normal everyday people don't really understand the huge disparity in money between a billionaire and a millionaire. When you're watching Shark Tank and you're watching someone like Mr. Wonderful make a deal versus someone like Mark Cuban making a deal,
I fucking hate that dude. Anyway, go ahead.
Two completely big Lil Wayne said it best. Big bank take Lil bank.
That's a good analogy.
Like, bro, like, legit, it's not even the same. So when you know, you got, bro, like, you could literally put a couple of million in a money market savings account and get a couple hundred million in interest. Like the money's coming in before you can even spend it, right? Like, and then to get out of it, he sold it for another $7 billion. Like, it's probably more than that if you Google it real quick. Like, but it was at least seven, like. What do you even? I'm out the NBA, but I got $7 billion on the way out. Yeah. You part of the BBC, so I really ain't got to be around these people. So why people say stuff? I don't know. But I mean, Matt
BBC, what is that?
Billionaire Boys Club.
Oh, I thought it was something else.
Nah, so
no, it's not the British broadcast, whatever that is. Or other things. That's across the ocean.
We're losing about something else.
We are losing them.
So I mean,
you think he was talking about BBW?
No, or just BBC?
No, okay.
No, Billionaires Boys Club, man. Cause y'all gonna listen? Trying to keep it trill up in here, man. Y'all wilding, man. Cut him off from the drinking, man. Like, he's too lit.
Just trying to keep it going.
No,
bro.
I feel you. So no, man. Like, that's why. But this guy here, he could have that pushed out,
And it's crazy because you kind of like we were discussing off air. It's like Ishbia was he bought the Phoenix Sun leveraging his stock, right?
Yeah.
And why CEOs get paid in stock.
Stock and what? UWM. Okay, yeah. So he leveraged it.
You know his
for
dad owned UWM, right? When it was called United Shore Mortgage.
And I mean, that's like
he took over his
that's
dad's
loan
business.
Officer lore. You know, I don't know that shit.
No, but so Matt Ishbia's dad owned it, and it was called United Shore Mortgage, United Wholesale Shore Mortgage. Then he changed it to United Wholesale, whatever. It comes from like back in 1986 or whatever the heck it was. You know what I mean? So not a bad gig for someone who played college ball, came out and took over his dad's company, right?
Yeah.
And he's done a phenomenal job. They've become again. You got to give him credit. He's ran a multi-billion-dollar company. He's made it profitable. He's made it this. I mean, you can always question the ethics of any CEO of any business, right? He's just putting his more on display, right?
Yeah.
And if those NBA owners wanted to get him out for those comments that the LGBTQ plus community, you know, said, I mean, hey, look.
Yeah, as much as hate is being thrown at Matt Ishbia's way, is he a fucking winner right now?
Hell yeah. Like, now, bro, like, yeah, people didn't want to say it, but like, bro, you got to clap for him.
Yeah,
like, if you are winning in this market, there's going to be ride or die people because what? Because
exactly.
What? Because UWM closes loans. Like, they just close loans. They close them fast.
They're fucking savages.
Bro, they are beasts with it. Now, something happens to UWM and it's class action or whatever, you're going to see a lot of mortgage brokers go out or come join some retail lenders. That's all I'm saying.
You think they're going to leave their companies and just join the retail lender side?
Well, most brokers, small broker shops, like the mom and pop broker shops that don't do much volume, it's just like any... Why?
But the ones who signed the agreements to only work with UWM don't think
that'll
that
happen.
Dan ain't forgot.
No, yeah. I mean, and that's why Dan gonna keep out coming out swinging to do everything
don't
he can.
Don't think he forgot.
So at that point, so let's look at the flip side of that coin, right? And I'm sorry because look at this. The people who signed that UWM agreement that you can't use Fairway, you can't use this person, you can't use Rocket, right?
Yep.
You don't think Rocket knows about that?
Oh, yeah.
And they put out a big memo and a big marketing blast about that. We're not here to tell you who to use, whatever like that.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, the people who still use Rocket, those consumers will benefit because they're trying to pull people away from that engagement to create that free in the market price. But that class action lawsuit has a lot of validity to it. And you shouldn't be telling independent. That's the whole point of why you go. That's the whole why you
anti-trust.
Sit there.
Antitrust.
But that's why you sit in that chair and you say, well, I have over 250 options, right? Like, you know, so you sit in that chair, but you really don't have options. And your own, and even when I grilled said opponent, he only uses a handful of lenders. And you only
I got like a top 12. I do a lot of.
Well, hold on. I gotta catch the crowd up real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
So everybody that's listening that don't understand this loan shit and don't understand how this mortgage shit works in real estate. All right. So basically, when you get a loan, you're either gonna go through a bank, which is a deposit taking institution, or a credit
bank union. Navy Federal Bank of America, Wells Fargo.
Yeah, yeah, that type of thing. Or you're going to go to something that says such and such mortgage company.
Correspondent or independent mortgage bank that only does mortgages.
Okay, yeah, there you go. And then you have a retail mortgage lender.
Or a mortgage broker.
Or a mortgage lender, which is like a wholesale mortgage.
No, you call a mortgage broker a broker because he wholesale stuff. So mortgage loan officer, mortgage lender, same thing, right? Mortgage loan officer, whatever. It's mortgage broker. They are independent. They shop your mortgage around.
Or okay, you so come basically to they take
a retail
that's
lender.
What they tell you.
That's what they tell
they
you.
Tell you. So they shop take your around. Mortgage and they push it out to 250 other lenders.
Most of them don't.
So they sell the loan to like 250 other lenders and they collect your fee.
They don't shop. Man, let me tell you, I was a mortgage broker, man. There was only a handful of lenders I'm looking at anyway, especially before Matt Ishbia.
So it's just the top ones? Or
it's just the
that's
top.
It.
Because I have to keep earning your business.
Yeah. Right.
Why am I going to sit?
What about the mom and pop lenders?
No.
If the mom and pop has the better rate, but it takes me 45 days to close, are y'all down for that shit?
No. Not as a real estate agent. Fuck no. We're trying to do it in 30 days.
So, if I'm a mortgage broker and I have options, but my only option, which is only two, to close, I challenge you both to look at all of the Facebook social media posts from every mortgage broker you know
And every single one of them that said, clear to close in 7 days, clear to close in 4 days, clear to close in 12 days, they were all UWM or Rocket. Majority of them UWM or Rocket. Because no other wholesale broker, when you don't have control of the process and they're brokering it out, those are the only two. Because what? The client needs to close fast. You want to close fast. So they're taking that option away. They're just taking the option away, right?
So let me catch the regular home buyer up real quick. So let's say the home buyer goes to a real estate agent. He recommends some wholesale broker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what happens in that process?
That wholesale broker takes the application, pulls the credit, and has to match their credit and their income with the lender who fits their guidelines. If they have Matt Ishbia is not friendly.
Who's the owner of the Phoenix Suns and owner of United Wholesale Mortgage.
Matt Ishbia likes A paper because they're less risky loans. He wants those AAA rated bond loans, okay? So he's going to increase the interest rates for anybody who has less than a 680, 670. He's going to make credit scores. He's going to make it higher. But guess what? We got to close in 2 weeks because this is a rescue loan. Yep. We got to close in whatever. So damn, that Freedom has the better interest rate, but they can't close it in 2 weeks. So I'm in an ethical dilemma. Freedom has the better rate, but UWM is going to make me look good for this realtor so I get this realtor's next deal. I'm going to send it to UWM, even though they have higher rates for that
So that
guy.
Fucks the client, in a sense.
Exactly.
That's the whole point.